We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study in the Book of Romans, titled Wake Up. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get started.
Father, as we get into your word and we try to cover the things that you have presented before us, Lord. Father, I just pray, God, that you would just speak to us by the power of your might, Lord, by your love for each one of us, Lord, that we would hear the things that you have to say to us. And Father, that you would be glorified, that your name would be lifted up, that people would look at us and they would know we are Christians by the way that we love one another. Lord, that we would love others as you have loved us. We would love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Lord, we're going to fulfill all the law if we do that. And so we are thankful, Lord. We are thankful to be in your presence. And I ask, Lord God, that you'd send your Holy Spirit to do the teaching this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're covering, how many of you finished all of your homework? Ooh, look at that. I'm so impressed. To cover three chapters in that length of time is really good. But I thought maybe you would take some and do it over the Christmas holiday until we meet again. So I'm very excited about when we're going to be meeting again, that we're going to be going through the book of Zechariah. And so it's going to be great. I'm excited about that. And so obviously we cannot go into a lot of detail on these three chapters. However, the notes that I am speaking from are not the notes that I'm going to be giving you. So if you want to take notes, please don't depend on those being that. The notes that I want to give you are a little more, not completely detailed, but a little bit more detailed than what we're going to cover this morning. So just be prepared for that. And so as we start in chapter 14, it is a carryover from chapter 13. What did we talk about the last time we were together? That we are to love as Jesus loved, that we are to love our neighbors. If we live our lives in a way that we love our neighbors as ourselves, if we love as Jesus loved, the world will be brought to him because of the way that we love. And so this live by that new commandment, love others as I have loved you. Now in chapter 14, Paul gives us, the first thing I want to say, this has not been, and it just came to me this morning as I'm on my way here, this has not been a study of Paul. And everything that I was reading, you know, and Paul did this, and Paul did that, and Paul did that, and a light came on, and you guys have already thought of it. This is not a study about Paul. This is a study about Jesus Christ. This is about the work of God in our lives and paying attention to that. And Paul happens to be the deliverer of that. So Paul gives us four do's in chapter 14. Four do's if we are to build unity amongst those of us who are so diverse. Would you agree that we are all different? All of us, we look at things so differently, and as you read through chapter 14, some are weak, some are looked at as weak. Okay, so they may be weak in that area, but they may be strong in an area that I'm weak in. So we can't judge that. We can't do any of that judging. So because we're not doing any of that judging, we are also making sure that we're living our lives for someone else besides ourselves. In chapter 14, that's what we have. So these four do's if we are to have the unity amidst our diversity. Number one is to determine not to be the source of stumbling. We are not to be the source of stumbling. When it uses the word stumbling block, Stumbling block means any attitude. Attitude or action that causes another believer to sin or to become confused about God's character and purposes. It's any attitude or action that causes another believer to sin or to become confused about God's character and God's purposes. Okay? We are not to be the source of stumbling for someone else. We are living our lives not for me, but for someone else. Now, I think we talked last week about, you know, if you feel that it's okay for you to drink, but you don't want to do it in front of, you don't want to push it on somebody else. That was something that we always use, you know, or maybe the foods that you can eat, or and we don't want to be a stumbling block for other people. We do not want to have an attitude toward them, or we don't want to have an action that causes them to sin. We don't want to be the cause of someone else sinning or becoming confused about Christ. So number two, we need to have, if we are to have that unity amongst our diversity, we are to have an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective. We are to concentrate on eternals and not on the externals. Concentrate on the eternals, not the externals. We pay attention to those things that have eternal value. When we do things, when we say things, when we're thinking about things, think about, does it have any eternal value at all? If it doesn't have any eternal value, let it go. It's not worth hanging on to. So let that eternal perspective be the center of your attention. Number three, actively, if we are to build unity amidst our diversity, actively pursue what benefits others. Actively pursue what benefits others. That is, love others as I have loved you. We went through all that listing last time we were together. We want to love others as Christ loved us, and that is completely and sacrificially, as we talked about. It was sacrificial. It was, Jesus knew that Judas wanted to hurt him, and yet he loved Judas. He knew that there were other people who wanted to hurt him, but yet he loved them. And so we are called to love in the same way. Even if we know that someone wants to hurt us, we still love. Maybe we might love from a distance, but we still love, okay? And number four, if we are to build unity amidst our diversity, we are to do all that we can do with a clear conscience. Do all that we can do with a clear conscience. What does that mean? That means that if somebody else comes to you and you just happen to be one of those people who only eats vegetables, we'll use the illustrations that we have here, someone who only eats vegetables, you believe that I can't eat meat because of it was offered to idols or something, you have some reason that you believe that. You are a person that only eats those vegetables because of your reasoning. And then someone comes to you and they say, oh, you can eat anything and you can do this, that I do it, so you can do it too. And then you go ahead and you eat the meat. Perhaps God has told you not to do it. You're not eating the meat with a clear conscience. For you, it is sin. I would use the illustration of Peggy, who doesn't eat chocolate. She doesn't eat chocolate because God has told her not to eat chocolate. Now, I can eat chocolate, but I am not going to force on Peggy that she needs to eat chocolate. When she takes a bite of chocolate, she doesn't do it with a clear conscience. For her, it is sin because God told her not to. So we work with others. If we're going to have that unity, does that make any sense? Okay, we're very clear on that. We want to do it with a clear conscience. And we move on to, let's see if I've missed anything, because in verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand. Let us pursue the things, verse 19, which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another, and do not destroy the work of God. And so love is more important than liberty. Relationships are more important than observing regulations. Love is more important than liberty. Relationships are more important than observing regulations. Does God reign in our hearts? That would be the question that I would ask. And then we move on to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, it shows us a missionary's heart. It's showing us a missionary's heart. And it starts out with, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, for the neighbor's good, leading to edification, lifting them up. Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." And so I want to just go over briefly that word bear, that we ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. That word is the same word that was used of Christ bearing his cross. Same word as Christ bearing his cross in John 19, 17. The things that were written there are for our learning, verse 4, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have that hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So the missionary's heart in chapter 15. And at number one, if we have a missionary's heart, I see my mission as entirely sacred, entirely set aside, and therefore a fragrant offering to Christ. I see my mission, my calling, what I'm doing, as entirely sacred, and therefore a fragrant offering to Christ, so that all of my life glorifies him. So that all of my life glorifies him. If I would have a missionary's heart, I want to make sure that all of my life will glorify him. Number two, what shows a missionary's heart is that I give, or we give God the credit for everything. We give God the credit for everything. Everything. Why are we so quick to give God credit for even the insurance companies give him credit for an act of God when there's a flood, when there's bad weather, something like that. We need to be quick to give him credit for everything. And I would give him credit for that disaster, honestly, personally, because I know that it's at work in us to make a difference in our lives to draw us closer to him. I will give him credit for the good things and the bad things. I know that he's in control of my life. Nothing gets to me without going through him first. So give God the credit for everything. Number three, a missionary's heart is a heart that is a visionary. Now, I married a visionary. He is definitely a visionary. And he is a bit like Paul in that Paul was always going to go to Spain. I'm going to make it to Spain. I just want to go to Spain. And you've probably, if you've been here for any length of time, you heard Bill talking about what is your Spain? What is your vision? What is the thing that God has called you to? Do you have a dream? Has God implanted in you some kind of a calling, some kind of a dream, an excitement about things that can be? Do you have a hope? Being a visionary implants hope in us. And so we are to have that heart that is a missionary's heart, having that dream. Number four, a missionary's heart is a heart that prays passionately. A heart that prays passionately, as passionately in private as we do in public. Even more so in private. If we are to have a missionary's heart, it is a heart that prays passionately in secret and in public. I have oftentimes been in groups of people that are praying, and they go on, and their language is so flowery, and they have so much to say and everything. I've kind of forgotten, I'm listening to what they're saying, and I've kind of forgotten why it is that I'm here. That's not any of you guys, and it's nobody you know, okay? Really, truly. But I always ask myself, when I'm in a group like that, I tend to ask myself, I wonder, and here I go back to chapter 14, don't judge, but I wonder if they do that in private. I wonder if they are that flowery and that passionate and that caring when it's just them and God and there's nobody else to hear but the maker of the entire universe. So if we are to have a missionary's heart, we have a heart that prays passionately in secret and in public. And if we are to have a missionary's heart, it is to be a heart for God. It is to be a heart for God. And so in those, therefore I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus. Let me see what I have. As he's beginning to close up in verse 13 of chapter 15, now may the God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope, he is our hope, fill you with all joy and excitement and peace. How is it getting there? In believing that you may abound. You may have more than you need of hope so that by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can pass that hope on to someone else. And now I myself am a confident concerning you, my brethren. Now here's Paul. He's encouraging them. He's strengthening them. He's pushing them onward. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also, these are the things I know about you, Paul says, that you are full of goodness. Verse 14, you are filled with all knowledge, and you are able also to admonish one another. That right there is true love, pure love, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish, encourage, strengthen, challenge one another. And we should be challenging one another. We should be pointing out to each other, have you thought about this? When we see a sister going in a direction that we know that they need not go in, it's okay. You love them enough to say something to them. We have to remember then this word admonish, that it's like seeing someone who's in a burning building. And there they are. They're carrying on life up there on the high heights there, and they're just not paying any attention to the burning that's going on. They're enjoying their life. And we're looking on, seeing that they are going to be destroyed by this fire, and we say nothing. That is not love. We must, in the power of God's might, confront when necessary. In love, we don't go with a shaking finger. We don't go with hands on the hips. We go in love. We pray first, and then we trust God to give us the words that we need. Maybe you need to write it down and just hand it in a letter, whatever it takes. But make sure you pray first, because we love one another enough to make a difference in somebody else's life when it needs to be confronted. Okay, enough said. Therefore, verse 17, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. I have reason for that. And then moving on to verse 26, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make, this is the reason that he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to make that, they made a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And so he's on his way, so it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. Those who are in the Gentiles are the debtors of those who are in Jerusalem. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. So if I have taken from the spiritual things, it is my duty to help support those that have given it to me. I'm not talking about the pastor here. That doesn't even enter into here. We need to be able to support one another. That's why we send support to our missionaries. That's why we care for those who are on the mission field, who are giving out the word of God. So we ought to do that in material things. Speaking about Spain in verse 28, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to come because God has called me to be there. I'm going to come because God has called me to be there. I'm not going to be there just because that's where I want to be. I'm going to find out what God wants me to do. Then he goes on in verse 30 and he says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. That is the passionate prayer of the missionary's heart. That I may be delivered from those in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Verse 32, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Then we move into chapter 16. Now in chapter 16, there are a number of times that women's names are mentioned in here. And it was very interesting to me, and that those women's names are going to be in your notes that I will give to you. But I commend you, Phoebe. Now, Phoebe's name, let me just get that because it was just so fun to come up with those things. Phoebe's name means radiant and bright. Radiant and bright. And she's identified as a sister and servant in the church. There, it's a seaport of Corinth. Receive her in the Lord, verse 2. Receive her in the Lord in a manner that is worthy of the saints and assist her. Receive her in a manner that is worthy of the saints, verse 2, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. And then we have Priscilla and Aquila, and we all know the story of Priscilla and Aquila. They were close friends. They were tent makers. Paul met them in Corinth. When Paul left Corinth for Ephesus, he took this noteworthy couple with him, and a church met in their house. And then Paul extends a number of greetings to the others that are in there. And those are in your notes as well. We won't go over them because we will run out of time. And so going down to verse 4, it talks about Priscilla and Aquila. They risked their own necks for my life. In verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved, I call him Epi. He is the first fruits of Asia, the first one of his first converts. Greet Mary. Now, six times in the New Testament, the name Mary is used. This particular one, it says that she was a very hard worker who labored much for us. And then it goes through a number of other names. In verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Tryphena means dainty, and Tryphosa means delicate. Who have labored in the Lord, greet the beloved Persis. Persis is the name of a slave who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So greet and greet these other people. And then we go down to verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I don't know. We live in a different culture, don't we? But this was what they did. I mean, this was part of their culture. But note that it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. With a holy kiss. This is not a kiss of passion. This is not a kiss that has anything to do with anything physical. It has everything to do with recognizing that person is important to you. And so a holy kiss is what you're going to give. Now in verse 17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned and avoid them. for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty straightforward. Verse 19, I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Be wise in what is good, pay attention to that, and in that wisdom, be naive. No, wrong word, not naive to evil. Be aware of evil and don't know as much about it as you want to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Just don't know as much about it as you would like to. And so in chapter 16 is praise to God, all of chapter 16. Our God is the only wise God. In his infinite wisdom, he devises perfect endings and achieves it by perfect means. He devises perfect endings and achieves it by perfect means. Number one, in his wisdom, he has made it possible for people who were bound by our own sinfulness to be set free from those sins and to know we have an eternal home with him. So in his wisdom, he made it possible for people who were bound in their own sin, their own sinfulness, to be set free, free from those sins and free to know we have an eternal home, free to experience eternal life. And number two, he made us sons and daughters by his own sacrifice. It was he who made us sons and daughters. We didn't. We are adopted into this family. He chose us. I love that about adoption, being chosen. He chose us to be in his family. And to all of this, he made us by his own sacrifice. To all of this, we can only say, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. And Paul, with his missionary heart, ends with verse 20. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's my prayer, is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with us all. That it would remain, that the things that we have learned in the book of Romans by how quickly we've gone through it, we've only touched the high points. But you are going to continue on in your study, and you're going to find out more of what goes on in there on your own, and you're going to find out what a great God we serve. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Hallelujah, glory to God, and amen on the book of Romans. I'm excited to be here with you guys now. And we are about to just have some fellowship out there with all the goodies that you guys have brought and to talk over the things that you've learned in the book of Romans and just enjoy each other. And remember, as you go through next month, as you celebrate Thanksgiving, a day of Thanksgiving, remember that we are to be thankful every day in all things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be thankful. Be thankful. It'll change your life. Just be thankful and remember throughout December all the things that you learned, and I'm excited to see you guys back here and in January. But come tomorrow night for our pre-Thanksgiving, and then if you don't have a place to go on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, we are having a meal here from 11 to 1. And so, Father, I thank you for these precious ladies, Lord. I thank you for their precious love, their grace, the fullness that they have in you, Lord. I thank you that you shine through them. And Father, I pray that you would go with each one of them, Lord, that you would remember their sacrifices. Lord, there are some that trust in chariots and some that trust in horses, but we will trust in the living God. Our trust is in you, Lord. I pray that you would grant them their heart's desire as they seek to serve you. Keep our eyes set on you, Lord. We continue to pray for our country. We continue, Lord, to ask you to change the areas that need to be changed, Lord, and bring us to you. And Lord, we also continue to pray for rain. I know there's some in the forecast, but it won't stop us from praying, Lord. We continue to ask you, Lord, to water the grounds in a way, Lord, of not destruction, but a way, Lord, that is will grow the crops. But we thank you in all things, and we are blessed. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.